Hey guys, so in this episode of the podcast, I'm here with Masa, and we're just going to get right into it because there's a lot to talk about, and we are super excited about this topic and everything, what it means basically. So just to jump into it, let's just, where should we start, Masa? You got a great idea.
We just had this awesome conversation about whether we should this event that we're thinking of doing.
Okay. Let's step back. Okay. He just jumped straight into it.
So we have this idea that, like, when we were driving back to get your laundries and shit.
Yeah, it's a okay. We'll set the stage. Just take one more step back. Today was a really rainy day. It's kind of a
miserable day.
Miserable day, exactly. You know, today originally I was planning to install the radiator into the car, into the S2000, and you were gonna come by to help, which you did. But it started raining really hard, and so we couldn't do that. We can do our original plans. We decided to just go for dinner, and we went to Panda Express, hung out, and I had to pick up my laundry on the way back because it's raining, so can't hang it out to dry. In Japan, we hang out the clothes to dry instead of putting them in a dryer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. One of my big culture shocks when I came to Japan. Nobody has dryers. So anyways, we took the laundry to this dryer laundromat, and after dinner, we came back to pick it up, and on the way back, we had like this deep conversation. And everything just kind of clicked. And the conversation kind of started when we were talking about, the Hunters, right? My brand, the Hunters. And just to briefly talk about the Hunters, which I think is going to really set the stage for this big idea and where I think this whole thing is going to keep going. When I created the brand, the Hunters, what is your impression of the Hunters before? Before I explain my idea of it.
So I know the Hunters through Elbow's YouTube page. So how I met, this is comes up to the how I met you basically, is so the videos that you initially blew up, the Shtugo video, and I've seen this, and you said the core group of the Hunters. I thought that was like a cool gang. You know,
it like, wasn't from Drift Hunter, from all the way back.
All the way back. And like you created the Hunters thing. I was like,
right.
It's kind of like, you know, where the TJ Hunt did the TJ Army thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like, I thought like that was a cool platform to, you know, unite with fans and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought like the Hunters thing was, what is it? It's just some kind of like a cool team in an aspect.
Mm-hmm.
That was my initial impression.
Okay.
When you did with the core group of the Hunters thing that you
We had the Hunters, yeah, that core group a year and a half ago.
2 years ago now.
2 years ago, yeah. And, you know, we're still friends with all those folks, but everyone has gone on to, like, different stages of their lives.
Yeah.
We don't have so much time to hang out anymore. And we do still hang out a lot.
But yeah.
It's kind of evolved. But let me take a step back and explain all about where the Hunters came from, because I don't think I've had the opportunity to really talk about it before. Maybe I have, maybe in a previous podcast.
Yeah, like previous podcasts, previous videos, you mentioned it, but a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But not the core.
Yeah.
Like okay. A full core.
Let's go all the way back to Drift Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first thing probably people will imagine when they first come across my brand is like, that's a direct ripoff of Speed Hunters.
It is. Well, wasn't it?
Not really. Well,
you just borrowed the name from the Speed Hunters, right?
To be honest, when I stumbled upon, Speed Hunters, I wasn't like that deep into like car culture.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really know it was like this big brand or mm-hmm. whatever. And I was already starting to go out into the mountains looking for drifters. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's like I'm hunting. So this is called drift hunting. This is what this is. And I'm pretty sure I had heard of like Speed Hunters. And so it was like in the back of my mind, but I wasn't like directly trying to like rip it off. I wasn't trying to be like, copy it or whatever. It just happened to be in my mind. And I was like, the thing I'm doing, this is obvious. It's kind of like you're going into the darkness and into the forest with a camera. It's kind of like you're hunting, if that makes sense. And I was hunting drifters. I thought this is just a cute little name for it. And it turned out to be very close in name to, like, well, Speed Hunter, right? And obviously, the more I tried to develop Drift Hunter into, like, this documentary project idea, then I researched, like, a lot of different... hang on. Just make sure this is still recording. Okay, still recording. You know, a lot of different car media things of stuff that other people were already doing. And then, of course, I stumbled upon Speed Hunters again. And that was, it became a huge influence. I was like, this is so cool. This is, like, exactly what I want to do. And I'll just cover, like, the drift side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a long time, whatever, it was similar. It was obviously influenced. It was obviously inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to Japan, or when it came to Tokyo, I tried to figure out a way to take it beyond drifting in terms of, like, covering the drifting scene, right? Mm-hmm. And covering the underground drifting subculture. Because I had a chance to come to Tokyo and go to Osaka and meet the, you know, No Good Racing guys on the Kanjozoku, and all the stuff that happens in Tokyo and the Shitoko and the C1, and also, like, in Hakone and all these other toge areas, and just the world became so wide. So I was thinking, I need to rebrand. It can't just be Drift Hunter. It can't be just Drift Hunter Albo, because in my current, you know, life covering the world of cars, it's only 10% about drifting. So I thought long and hard, long and hard, until I finally realized one day, it's like, well, I'm going to the toges and covering, like, grip racing. That's kind of like grip hunting. And then if I go to, like on the highways, on the C1 and the Shitoko, that's kind of like Shitoko hunting. So I was like, okay, these are just different variations of the core idea of hunting. So I just dropped the drift part and just made it like the hunter. The hunt, instead of like the hunting, the hunter, the hunters. Oh, there you go, that's it. I think the more important part is the V part, the Havunters.
Yeah, why did you went for V instead of the U?
Well, the first, there's many reasons, actually. Not any one of them is the most important reason. But let me just tell you the different reasons. Okay, so the, obviously one reason is because I don't want it to be so close to, like, all these, like, Drift Hunter and also, like, Speed Hunters. And Hunter is already a very common, like, brand name. Mm-hmm. There's, like, you know, boots called Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, potato chips called Hunters.
Really?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And so I thought the V in some other brands is sometimes used interchangeably as a U.
Hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think of, do you know the brand called Bulgari?
Yeah, I know. Like watch.
Yeah. It's like a watch brand. And it actually uses a V.
Oh!
So it turns out, I'm pretty sure this is correct, but if you go back into the, I think the term is etymology of the word,
mm-hmm.
Of the alphabet. Originally, there was either no U or no V. They were like the same, mm-hmm. and they were used kind of interchangeably. And so, essentially, the U and the V can sometimes be used interchangeably, and it still makes sense. So that's why you can read the HV mm-hmm. Hunters as the Hunters.
Mm.
But I like the idea of the V having, like, a dual meaning. And I really like the idea of the V also symbolizing, you know, like, the fact that it has a double meaning. And, like, one of those meanings can be hidden. And one of those hidden meanings can be something that only the people who are, like, part of that tribe would know. Like, people who are listening to this podcast, I'm explaining this concept, and only you guys know because you're listening to this, right? So the V, to me, it represents, if you see the logo, what does it look like? It's like the Hunters, but it's not a V. It's not actually a V in the
peace.
It's a peace sign, right? And that peace sign is very important because, Masa, why don't you explain? In Japan, when people take pictures, or when somebody takes a picture of you, what's the most common gesture?
Peace.
You make the peace sign. right? With your mm-hmm. two fingers. But in Japan, that has a slightly different meaning than the Western meaning, right?
Really?
Doesn't it? What does it mean in Japan?
Victory.
Exactly. Exactly.
The victory of the V.
Yes. That
Shōri no V sign.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That meaning doesn't exist in the West.
Really?
Yes. That just means the peace. Like peace. Like peace as in like world peace. So that's what I found really cool. The Western interpretation exists, and so does the Eastern interpretation.
Hmm.
And they're also very, very interesting because the way I see it, you have like the Eastern interpretation is like victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the Western interpretation is like peace. And then I thought, well, they're in a way kind of like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Because if you have victory, then you can have peace because like it's settled, you know?
Mm.
It's like, good, we won. So we're the winners. Now we can be peaceful. When there is strife, when there's war, there's no peace, right? And that's when the victory hasn't been achieved yet.
Mm.
But after victory, there's peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I thought the symbolism is kind of, it can be profound if you kind of like think about it a lot. Mm. Living in Japan, folks only know the victory meaning. So I would often explain when I was an English teacher, I used to be like, why does everyone do this peace sign? Like when you take pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it meant peace, like, oh, peace, like world peace. Somebody explained to me, like you did just now, it means victory. Like, oh. And then I explained the peace meaning, just like I explained to you. And everyone was like, oh. So that was one really small instance of internationalization, which is kind of what I came to Japan to do in the first place. Kind of bridge that gap between cultures and help people understand each other. And that's why I wanted to have that V sign, the peace sign, in the logo itself. So you can read it as the hunters, but really it's like a peace. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Peace and also victory, like V for victory. So there's that dual meaning. It's multi-layered meaning.
You want to be in the victory of the whole culture. But also, you want to have to bring the peace to the culture as well.
Yeah, yeah. We want our tribe to win, you know. We want to be victorious in whatever it is that we do. So, I don't want to create, like this identity of it being okay to, like, not be a winner. We want to push everybody to, like, strive for, like, the best. And try to become, you know, like, the winner in whatever it is you choose to do. But also, the flip side of that is, like, you want to also, don't be an asshole about it, right? You want to promote peace and fair play. And if you're going to engage in competition, do it fairly. And just, like, don't be an asshole about it. So, like, that's where the peace side of it comes from. And even after the competition, hopefully everybody can be friends. So, like, that's kind of, like, where I'm coming at with the idea of, like, the hunters, right?
Instead of the you just added the V for everything.
Yep. And so, actually, I'm going to release some new stuff coming up pretty soon, but I've taken the new logo, the circle one?
Yeah.
With the V, the peace sign in the middle, right? The glove.
Kind of like a Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, and that's actually another big inspiration. It comes from the Mickey Mouse, because, you know, it's so lovable, right? And you also, when you're wearing a glove, you don't know what color it is underneath.
Oh!
Right?
Oh, that's smart.
Right? Right? So I thought about all these things. Because if it's a hand, it looks like a white hand. But what if it's a black hand underneath the glove?
Or it may be a yellow hand.
Or a yellow hand. Or does, like, see? Like, the race doesn't matter. Right? That's
Yeah. Yeah, we have a bunch of black... Oh, sorry.
sorry. We have a bunch of black friends.
sorry my bad sorry,
not careful Masa, don't get canceled.
No, but I'm just saying, we have a lot of people who are into JDM cars that are not just Asians like us, not just Japanese people. Like, for example, Locked Automotive Media,
Yeah. Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
Jamal. Yeah.
Jamal. You. Me. Yep. We're all have a different colors.
Yep.
And colors doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Color doesn't matter. We have the same passage.
That's what the glove symbolizes.
Yeah.
So there's so much symbolism there. And I'm glad that... Well, I'm glad you understand. I was like, man, does this all make sense? Or it's just all in my head. But yeah. And what I was thinking today as we were driving back, right?
To get your laundry and
To get my laundry and shit. One of the things that I was thinking about was that...
We're not in your head. Back in your head, right?
Sorry?
Back in your head, right?
Yeah. Well, like before, I had been thinking about this thing for some time up until now. So looking at it from like the branding side of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was thinking about, like the Hunters, was I want to take it beyond just like a YouTuber's merch kind of thing. I want to make it so, like, it's, of course, it's cool that, you know, other creators have merch.
Like this, Legends.
Actually, Legends Media, I'm hugely inspired by what Dustin is doing. It's super, super cool.
Shout out to you, Dustin.
Shout out to Dustin. And I'm sure we're going to do some really cool stuff in the future as well. There's also a bunch of other merch apparel brands.
I will comment that. Amelia Hartford. LZMFG.
There you go. Another one I really love is
Nightrunner
International.
Night Runner, super cool. That's dope.
Yeah. And like his stuff, like design wise, it's just so on point. I'm just like, it's super cool. And what I was thinking recently was, you know what? Why is there not this brand that exists in the world of, like, you know, culture, street culture, what have you? That has roots in car culture. So, for example, with skateboarding, what brands came out of skateboarding?
I don't know.
Vans.
Ah!
Okay. What else? Supreme.
Supreme.
Stussy. A whole bunch of famous brands came from skateboarding, but exactly to that point, you didn't know. Maybe you knew, and then you didn't, but you didn't make that initially.
The connection.
It wasn't like right there, like at the tip of your tongue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because you're not a skateboarder.
Mm-hmm.
But you still rock Vans. You can still
rock.
Yeah,
I use Vans for my daily use.
I love, like, I have like this one shirt, like a Stussy shirt I've had it for like 10 years. I love the design of it. I don't skateboard, right? But it has, what I'm saying is, like, it has transcended that hobby, that culture, and has become part of like the wider culture. It's become part of like just like youth culture. So it's just something, it's something that's, it's really cool that this brand has come from
the core of it, which it was skateboarding.
Yes, and has now expanded to the wider world, and it allows other people to be able to enjoy it too.
Mm-hmm.
Another good example is like I think Echo comes from hip hop culture, and so does
Echo Limited footwear. Yes, the footwear.
And Tribal comes from breakdancing. And there's a lot of brands like that, but there's none for cars. The only one I can think of is Illist, which has...
Oh, the Dialist.
Yeah. Illist is... But it's in, like, Target. Like, you can see it in, like Target or in Canada. I saw it at, like, Zellers, I think, one time. But basically, department store brands. It's become a department store brand. And somehow, to me, that kind of dilutes it. It's not as cool. But, you know, they still do stuff. Like, it's fine. Like, they have their thing. Like,
yeah, they have that's great. LS Sprint Bucket Seat, which is so dope.
Yeah, that is cool. That is cool.
That was dope. That was, like, super flex.
Yeah. And they have definitely been a huge part of the community for a very long time. So, I'm not throwing any shade at all. I just question some of their marketing decisions and, like, their distribution decisions.
But, yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. You want to make the Hunters into, like, the car version of Vans, Supreme, or what have you.
Yes, exactly. Something where you would love to wear it because you're like, oh, this is my culture. This is car culture. But your girlfriend would just think that this is cool.
Like the Haunted Company. The Haunted Company.
What TJ is doing is really cool because, like, a lot of his designs
are very chill.
They're very chill. It just subtly references cars.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of looks like an Abercrombie shirt.
Yeah.
But with more car touch into it.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas some other YouTubers' stuff is specifically
they
cars.
They go all out with the cars, right? Or they go, like just, like, the name.
Yeah.
Right? Which is fine, too. I mean, like, if you love the brand, like, it's cool because names become brands.
Yeah, like Samet.
Like Samet, exactly. I mean, if he keeps pushing it, I mean, it could come to the point where everybody just knows Samet as, like, a brand.
Yeah, like, right. I've seen someone wearing that shirt. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. And, like,
LZMFG.
Yes, there you go. LZMFG, which means, LZ, his last name, manufacturing. Right? But it's just become, like, it's become a thing on its own. Like, little by little, it's
yeah,
become,
like, his,
which is really cool.
Yeah, and, like, Amelia Hartford, oh my god, it's so difficult to say that name. Amelia's Aiwo Komete. That was so cool. Like, I thought, like, I would rather rock that merch, you know? When I first saw her, I've seen her past videos when she came to Japan.
Yeah.
Before the whole, you know, C8 thing happened.
Yeah.
And she was rocking her own merch. I thought it was cool. And I wanted to meet her, but at the time I saw her video, she was already gone to States. And now what?
Yeah.
She has, like, big.
Yeah, she's much...
Bigger now,
right? But that kind of ties back to one of my original points, which is that, like, you know, when you're a big creator, of course you have a huge platform, right? And then you can have, like, a merch supporting this big platform. Like, a good example is Logan Paul. And he has the very famous... Maverick brand, right?
Mm.
I think that's quite a good example of a... I don't know how to even say it. It's like a brand of this era where it came from social media. It just came from the creator who was a YouTuber. But now it's... I can kind of see it starting to transcend the fact that it's a YouTuber's merch. And now it's... within some pockets, it's becoming something that people just like to wear, and that they think is cool. Another way that I've seen brands become really successful like this is from Instagram. Like, they were just like they blew up through Instagram. Like, Night Runner International was like that. I'm pretty sure it basically started off with this one kind of aesthetic video on Vimeo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people kind of discovered him and his brand, and he started putting stuff out. And actually, even within car culture, there's a whole bunch of brands that are kind of like that, really based mostly on Instagram. I'm going to shout out a bunch of people like Shirts Tucked In, Never Content. Who else can I think of off the top of my head? And, like, these folks, they don't have YouTube channels, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically through Instagram, which is really cool. And I think possibly, like, this is where the whole street culture, streetwear industry world is going to go in the future. But, like, to digress for a minute, one thing that I've been thinking about a lot is the fact that, yeah, there is nothing like that. There isn't something that's really, really big like that in car culture.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing from Japan.
Mm.
Right? There's nothing. Can you think of any
Vertex?
Vertex.
They did the collaboration with your friends.
Night Runner?
Well, not Night Runner too, but also didn't they
Eliminate.
Eliminate.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, but they're a company. Like, when I think of Vertex, I think of, like, that's a big company. Right? Mm-hmm. They didn't originally start out as an Instagram brand or, like, a YouTube merch brand, right? Is there anything like that? The only one I can think of is, like, Hardcore Tokyo.
Mm.
Kind of. You know what? You know Hardcore?
Yeah.
They're not super big. That's pretty good. Maybe Speed Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
Speed Hunter? Like, I see some people rocking, like, Speed Hunters. Like, Tomo was wearing a hoodie yesterday, so I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, to that point, there really isn't something that I can think of super, super big around the world. And it's really connected to the root of that culture. It's really there. And has that connection with both Japan and the Western culture. So that's kind of what I want to do with the brand. Which leads, finally, to what we were talking about. Which is this thing that we want to do to essentially connect the east side and the west side. Mm-hmm. To connect Japan and
the Western culture.
World, the Western world, yeah.
I think Japan is so unique in a sense because, you know, like what we see now, this is kind of interesting because when we see now the R34 became like super astronomical prices now, yeah. Even with the normal cars, I'm not talking about the nerds, I'm talking about the normal cars with the interesting paint job,
yeah.
Will go for extraordinary amount of money that you can buy used Aventador, which right. is stupid.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, this thing, similar thing happened only to the Porsches and Ferraris, as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, have you ever seen a $300,000 Hyundai? No. Or have you ever seen, like, similar cars that got shot up price? Aside from Japanese cars, no, only Porsches. You know, Porsches, some Porsches just go up. But like, yeah. have you seen a Panamera, Porsche Panamera,
yeah.
go up to the prices as the 911 did?
No,
they just depreciate. But I'm not just talking about R34 just shot up the price. I'm talking about S2000, Honda, Civic Type R, Honda,
mm-hmm.
Subaru WRX, Subaru, Mitsubishi. All these other manufacturers just shot up the prices. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but for some reason, I mean, we're in the times that we live in are kind of very unique because not just one car just shot up the price. All the other cars too just rack up the price for some reason. And I think this is cool because people start to recognize that Japan's cars weren't just a daily driven bunch of shitboxes. We realize that Japanese car has a lot of soul and a lot of character into it that some people might prefer over all these exotics.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought of it is like, even though like I see a lot of Japanese people who are older than I am, who owns these cool-ass GTRs and like R32s, R33s, they have the Instagram accounts, but they can't really share to the public because they can't speak English. And I see a lot of foreigners wanted to see those cars in person, but they're so hesitant to talk to Japanese people, and Japanese people are so hesitant to talk to them.
Right, yes.
And yeah, at yeah. the same time, they're just willing to show it to them, but they don't know how to connect to each other.
Right.
That is the gripe that I had about for like past 5 years when I started driving around, go to Daikoku, meet with a lot of foreigners.
Yep.
Basically like that, they wanted to connect with the Japanese owners, how they bought it. Well, not just how they bought it for how much, it's just how they maintain it, what parts they're using it. What like they wanted to talk car stuff, basically.
Right.
But they can't because they're connected, they can't speak Japanese. Vice versa, they can't speak English or Japanese.
So what you're saying is,
like, we could be the bridge of those.
Exactly. Yes. I think what we realized tonight is we know a lot of folks on the Japanese side, right? We know some Japanese creators. We know a lot of people within the community.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kind of influential people who a lot of people love their builds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like they have a large audience, and we of course know a lot of people who will watch the channels, like my channel, and also follow like our various YouTuber friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also just know a lot of foreigners living in Japan,
mm-hmm.
who are car guys, and so we see how both sides, they want to meet each other,
mm-hmm.
like Japanese enthusiasts want to be able to make foreigner car enthusiasts friends.
Mm-hmm.
And foreigner guys, they want to be able to make Japanese car friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the thing is, like, you know, every week we go to Daikoku Futo. And we see a lot of, like, American guys have been coming lately, right? Which mm-hmm. is great because things are starting to opening up. Things are starting to open up. And the guys come from the base, and not just from the base, but also like foreigners who live in Japan who are into cars. There's a fair number of us who, a lot of them, they didn't even know that Daikoku exists. And they found out about it through my videos, and then they went there. And then they go there and they're like, oh, this place is amazing. They're going around. Oftentimes they don't speak Japanese. Maybe they speak a little bit, but they don't know how to make friends. I don't know. I've always had a personality where I just go up to people and make friends. But for a lot of people, they don't know how.
They're hesitant to talk. Hesitant,
right? They feel like there's this this wall, like they can't just make those friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip side is Japanese people. Like a lot of Japanese people, they would love to make some foreigner friends and be able to, you know, experience the joy of like international friendship, but they feel shy. They don't know how to break the ice. We're lucky enough to have been able to be the bridge in a lot of those situations, right?
Yeah, like you did with the tourism stuff.
Yeah.
I talk with a lot of foreigners.
Yeah.
I talk shit with the foreigners too.
Yep. Yeah, sometimes I'm talking to two groups of people. I'll just introduce. I just met both groups. I'll just introduce them to each other.
And I could, like, we could be, like, a translator for them.
Yep, yep. And what we basically realized was, like, we could... That activity, like, literally connecting people and bringing people together of from different cultures, that kind of puts us right in the center
mm-hmm.
of car culture and the internationalization of car culture. Mm-hmm. And I realized like this is something I'm passionate about, and I think you are too.
Yeah,
this is something that's so cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, to the fact that I get to know with YouTubers that I watched when I was like a fucking teenager, and I'm just being with friends with them, just being unreal. But at the same time, like, I can use my... Like, this is what I wanted to do, basically. I want to use my knowledge. Well, not just the knowledge about cars, but I can use my language fully with foreigners and Japanese people in a bridge combined. Like, I want to see them... What is real, basically. Because, like, some people think that all Japanese stuff are cool.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, maybe... we could combine Western flavor into Japanese base.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could create something that is super authentic at the same time, super cool.
You know, I just had this cool idea. I'm going to make this t-shirt where it says like in Japanese, I'm a foreigner. I want to make Japanese car friends. Please talk to me. And maybe, you know, it's going to be super lame, but kind of cute in this weird way, this cheesy way. And maybe that's going to help, you know, people break the ice. But, you know, to come back around, I feel like this is something that we're both really passionate about. And now we kind of figured it out. And now we're going to try to do some cool stuff for the community and give back and do some events and make spaces, opportunities for car enthusiasts to meet each other in person. And finally, you know, after COVID, it's been a long, hard 2 years. People are finally starting to come out again. When we were at Daikoku last week, it was crazy on Friday night. It was amazing, right?
It was amazing. It was
amazing.
So many wide plates.
So many wide plates. And that was a really cool aspect. But it was kind of cute. Like, they're just kind of wandering around, kind of lost, you know? They're like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
And I was kind of, you know, surprised that they're like willing to talk with Japanese people, but people were a bit hesitant. They were just sticking with to the groups.
Yeah,
and I wanted to, you know, melt that and then combine that with Japanese people, and then they can, you know, share experiences with together, like what we saw basically at Daikoku last night.
Yeah,
that was cool, right?
Yeah,
the drifting and the hopopo shit, that was fucking cool.
It was super super cool. Yeah, check out the video on YouTube, which will be up by the time... Actually, I need to edit it, but very soon. I'm going to put it out tonight or something. But, dude, yeah, exactly. There are so many opportunities now that are kind of, like, popping up in my head where we can... and do things like create events and things like that for people to.
And now the whole entire stress of COVID, because everybody wants to go and hang out, but they are just struggle because of this COVID thing.
Yeah,
they can't really go out and hang out with people. Now, whole the patient is like going down.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time that we could step up the game.
Yeah. Okay, how about this? Let me give you an opportunity to speak Japanese, just because I'm sure people only ever hear you speak in English. They probably don't even believe you're Japanese.
Really?
Maybe.
My English is not that good.
No, your English is that good. That's what I'm saying.
So I think that everybody knows. Why don't
you give a quick message for some of the Japanese listeners? Maybe there's a few.
Well, there is no Japanese. Like, I bet nobody will listen to like 50-minute podcast that's main language is the fucking English.
Okay, hang on. Why don't you give a message in Japanese to the English people who are listening and then translate it yourself to English? Or I'll translate for you. yeah, this will be great because that's exactly my point, being that bridge. So give a message to them, I'll translate to them in Japanese or in English. Go for it.
Minasan konnichiwa.
Just say the whole thing, yeah.
だから、僕がやりたいのは、外国じゃない。英語圏の人たちと、日本人の車好きをつなげたい。僕は、それの架け橋になりたい。だから僕は、今、この機会に、このギャップを埋めて、もっとカーライフを豊かにしたいの。
Nice. Okay, so let me see if I remembered all of that. So, hey everybody, do you remember what you said? I'm like forgetting your sentences at the beginning.
Just say it in a nutshell.
Okay, so in a nutshell, you're saying, hey everybody, you want to basically create a space for people who speak English, basically foreigners, and also for Japanese people, to give them an opportunity. You want to be a bridge, basically, for these people speak English and who the Japanese folks to be able to come together and to be able to enjoy car life together.
Yeah.
Essentially, right?
Essentially. だから、
That's wonderful.
僕の役目はそのギャップを埋める機会を作る。
So you want to make some chances to close that gap between people. That gap that exists because of you know,
language barriers
and cultural barriers, and you didn't talk about it, but that, mm-hmm. to me that was kind of implied, and you want to make it some chances for that to happen.
で、僕にはアメリカのいいところも知ってるし、日本のいいところも知ってる。逆も同じ。だからアメリカのいいところ、まあアメリカとか西洋のいいところ。そして日本のいいところをコンバインしたら何か面白いことが起きるかもしれないと思う。だから僕はそれをアルボトの仲間たちと一緒に作っていきたい。
So, you've experienced like the good aspects of Japanese culture and the good aspects of Western culture, and you think, by being able to bring those together, we might be able to create something new and even more interesting and amazing. And you want to be able to do cool things like that to make it happen with me and our friends.
Yeah.
So I 100% agree. That was kind of like a meta moment of like the thing that we're trying to do. Like a lot of folks don't speak English. Maybe they speak a little bit, but they have that passion for cars.
Like Tomoya,
right? No, he speaks perfect English. What are you talking about? Like, there's a...
Oh, like, not just Tomoya, but, you know, a lot of, you know, bunch of guys that we, like, for example, Emi-chan.
Yes, Emu. Yeah. She speaks a little bit of English.
And you're a lot of Sayaka.
Yeah, Sayaka, she's a good example. Like, she doesn't speak English at all, but she's super passionate about cars. She loves meeting people. She's super friendly. And then on the flip side, a lot of foreigners... Of course, a huge reason a lot of us are here is because we're super passionate about Japan. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes it can be difficult to make those connections, make those friends. If you come here, for example, for work, there are circumstances like work relationships. There's a reason to be friends with that person or to get to know that person because of work or because you have some sort of like obligation or some sort of reason to get to know that person, right? But for cars, it can sometimes be quite difficult to make car friends. That's something I hear a lot. It's like, hey, Albo, how do I make car friends in Japan? Where do I go to meet car people? Well, once I go there, how do I make friends with them? And I'll definitely explain how I do it like in future videos and stuff, but it's not that hard. But also I think sometimes you just need a chance. You need
the opportunity
where there's permission for mm-hmm. both groups to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what kind of reminds me of? This is completely unrelated, but one thing it kind of reminds me of is like, it's kind of like if there's somebody maybe at school or something or at work you often see in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you might have like a interact, like let's say for example,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give you this example that popped into my head. Maybe you go to like a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you see like this cute person working at the coffee shop, mm-hmm. right? And you make some small talk with them and you feel like it would be really cool to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
But the opportunity is not there. Like it's awkward to force it to be like, hey, where are you from? Like you don't have the social permission to
get to know that
get
person.
To know them. Yes. Yeah. Even though maybe you both kind of feel like you feel like she'd be interesting or cute, and the person working there as a barista or whatever might think you're cool and interesting and might want to get to know you, but the social constraint keeps you from talking and getting to know each other.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's say you got to meet, like let's say you connected to each other on like a language exchange app or like Tinder or something, like some meeting app. Then you have the permission to get to know each other.
You won't be awkward to, you know, say,
it won't be awkward anymore, right?
Yeah, it won't be awkward to say, I want to know about your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, we could be like that.
You both bought into it, right? It's like you both, like, if, for example, you connected on that app, you both agreed to,
mm-hmm.
and then like now somebody just has to start a conversation.
Yeah, we could have a
car
meet platform.
Exactly. Oh, maybe that could be like, ooh, the next stage. But, you know, like, even real life, we create like an event and we make it so like this is the point of this event is basically internationalization for car people. Come here and make international friends, right? I used, you know, before when I was a jet, I used to do these international parties. Sometimes I would do them like at like the city hall, and there would be like game nights. At other times they would be like at a club.
Mm-hmm.
Like an international night at a club. This is basically the same thing, but for car people.
Mm-hmm.
Like an international night for car people. We can like do like meetups, we can do like events, and hopefully we'll do like some more motorsports related things too. Like I would love to do like drives, to do track days, to do all kinds of, you know, different events to bring people together and grow a community. Mm-hmm. And to bridge that gap. And oh man, it all just kind of clicked tonight. That's something I'm so passionate about, and it connects the reasons I came to Japan. You know, I came to Japan for my job was to come here to internationalize, and I was also very passionate about cars, and like this is just putting that together. And you, that's the reason we met, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I wanted to hang out with Albo because he's a YouTuber.
No, hang on. No, you're not wrong.
No, not that. Let me explain.
Okay.
But I just wanted to hang out with a lot of foreigners, then you had that a lot of opportunity. I see. Like, I wanted to, you know, make car friends, but at the same time,
I wanted to, you know, hang out with you because I thought you were cool.
Okay, so yeah, okay, basically. So what I was gonna say, I just wanted to see if like you agree, but my interpretation is like, obviously you watch this person on YouTube, that's really cool, and you want to meet them, you have a chance to meet them, say hi, right? But the reason we became friends is because we had like common interests and common
values. Exactly. Yes, yeah. We shared the same values.
Yes.
Yeah. We wanted to socialize between, we wanted to be the bridge between American people and Japanese people.
Yeah.
Or English speaking people versus Japanese people.
Yep.
Yeah. Not just American people.
I'm super excited about this, man. I think this gives me a lot of clarity moving forward.
And I think Japan has a lot of opportunity, but at the same time, they're missing these opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think we can make the opportunity. We can use this opportunity now. We have this opportunity to showcase what Japan has done in past 20 or 30 years of this tuner culture. That we, as a foreigners, seen. They might know of it through the videos, but they don't know what's the real core thoughts or like a core thing. Maybe at least we could make them touch that.
I see what you mean. I think what you're saying. Let me try to parse
it. It's like a BBRT.
Mm-hmm.
But in a different way, you know?
I think it's almost coming like full circle in a lot of ways. I think what you were trying to say, well, the way I parse that is, for Western people looking at like Japanese car culture, right? They see, oh man, so much of that is like so cool and so unapproachable, and it's like, wow, Japan. But we want to peel away at that.
Yeah, we want to make it approachable, not unapproachable.
Yeah. And help people understand, like, you know, like you could make friends here too. You could be part of this thing that you're passionate about, and you could be some Japanese person's friend, and you could show them your culture. Like that's the really cool thing. Like it's not just like folks listening to this, like you get to come to Japan and like make Japanese friends. It's, you have to think about it from the perspective of like the Japanese people you become friends with. From their perspective, they think it's super cool that they have a foreigner friend. Because, you know, I'm sure you know, living in Japan, Japanese people have so little chances to interact with foreigners. For the most part, like most people, right? Mm-hmm. It's like unless they go work at a foreign company, or if they join like a language exchange group, like if they really, really are already interested in foreign culture, it's very difficult for them to make foreigner friends, even if they think like they would love to. But there's the bubble that they live in is super strong. But they might be really into cars, and that can be the vehicle that brings them across the bridge to
unites with people. Cars unite people.
Yeah, it is.
Cop gang. Cup Gang.
Cup Gang, what's that?
That's a Salomon Reed's brand.
Okay.
They call it Cup Gang.
Yeah, but you know all the
fiasco. But I'm just saying, cars unite people.
They do.
Like, I've seen a bunch of foreigners, they see these cars and they were like, cool. Like, for example, Marcos S2000.
Yep.
My friend wanted to show that picture to the Twitter and said, this was the cool S2000 I ever seen. I wanted to meet the foreigner. But he would like to see it, but he didn't have an opportunity. Not just Marco wasn't there, because maybe he were a bit too hesitant to talk with him.
They probably saw us hanging out around the car, and they're just like, I don't know, we can't talk with them.
Yeah. But if I were there, then he would ask me, or maybe I could show it to him.
Yeah.
To let the owner say, like, he's willing to show it to the car, so, like, you know. I'm basically bridging the gap, but without me, they will not be able to do it.
Yeah.
But I want to make this opportunity to make that gap that's more seamless. Like, it can be having connections with the foreigners, with Japanese people, without any hassle.
Yep.
That's what we have to do.
You know what we should do? We should make some, like, car kaiwa. Instead of a kaiwa?
Yeah, car kaiwa.
So kaiwa means conversation, car chats, you know? Oh, like hashtag car kaiwa. Dude,
we can make that car apps.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap this up here before we give all our great ideas away. But you know what I was thinking as well is we have a very unique opportunity that nobody has, because for one thing, I'm already lucky enough to have this huge platform, global platform, and like I can reach people around the world, like hundreds of thousands of fans around the world, right? We already live in Japan, and we have access that nobody else does. Like everybody in the Western car community, car YouTuber world is like living overseas, aside from like me, Noriaro Samit, Captain Bradford,
And Wasabi Cart.
Wasabi Cart. There's a few other people I'm sure I'm forgetting.
Kota the Yoda.
Kota the Yoda. Milky Diamonds. Cool.
Really and cool Kino, don't forget Kino STI.
Kino STI, sure.
But those are just only like 5-10 people that do a lot of car stuff in Japan. Whereas, look at the United States, bro. There are so many tons of people that not the YouTubers that we don't know of. Mm-hmm. But like they're famous that they love Japanese cars. Yep. And like not just huge YouTubers, I'm talking about small YouTubers like less than 100k, but they're passionate enough.
Yeah.
And like, and they wanted to go to Japan, but because of COVID and like whole their stuff, their life, so they can't really, they're hesitant to come to Japan. Maybe we could bridge that gap.
You could bridge the gap for sure. Yeah, and we have almost a responsibility, because like we kind of realize this, and nobody else can really. I'm sure some people can do it, but maybe we have this opportunity to like really make it happen. You know, like
yeah, Dustin can, but he has have a more bigger hurdle than us.
Yeah, I mean, he lives in America. He doesn't speak Japanese. He doesn't know anybody here.
Like,
aside from us, right? So I mean, we know a lot of folks who are overseas, and we can help them share the message, I suppose. But what's going to be really cool is the folks who are actually here in real life, let's try to bring people together and definitely make media and videos and stuff about it too. And hopefully that can share the message. But I think what's going to be really cool is when people meet in person, because that's when, you know, like I have this like this dream in my head, where there's like this American car guy meets this Japanese car girl, and then they meet up at one of our meetings, and then it was because we set that up that they met, and then they got married, and then they had a kid, and they had a wonderful life.
Or what about vice versa?
Vice versa, yeah. What, like a
Japanese car dude's married Japanese car girl?
Yeah, it's American car girl.
American car girl?
Super rare, I suppose, but it could happen. I haven't met many car girls in Japan, like that came to Japan to be a car girl.
You mean foreigners that came to Japan?
Yeah, exactly.
For a Japanese perspective.
Hey, sure. I'm sure they exist. Like that's great, but there's probably a much lower number. And I hope everyone comes to one of our meetups. I'm super excited about this. I have a renewed enthusiasm and passion for giving back. You know, like this I feel is almost like a mission.
Commitment.
Like I want to commit to this
cultural stuff.
Yep. To give back, to kind of make it full circle of why I really came here in the first place. And I'm really excited for where that's going to go. So hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to us talk about our...
How much long is this anyway?
It's probably 45 minutes now. Let's see. 54 minutes. Been talking for an hour. So we're gonna wrap this up.
Yeah, I gotta go back home.
Yep.
Take my shit and go back to my house, which is another 2-hour drive. Fuck my life.
Yep. Well, hope you enjoy that. And
catch you up in the next one. Cheers, everybody.
Yeah, thanks guys everyone for listening. And we'll catch you guys in you just said those are my words.
I take your words, man.
Oh man. Alright.
Masa Savage. Must Savage. I'm gonna start my brand called Must Savage.
Must Savage. Yeah. But also go follow Masa. Masa loves cars. Let him know you listen to this podcast in his nearest in his latest post.
Yeah, make. Yeah. I want my Instagram followers to go to 5K this year.
Yeah, maybe you should make a video on your YouTube channel and get it to 100K.
Can yeah, I make dude. It to 100K?
Are you kidding me? Of course you can. Of course you can. Of course you can.
Like JDM Masters, bro.
Oh, of course you can. Oh my god, of course you can. Anyways, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
let's
so
just end this.
Every time I talk to this guy, it frustrates me to no end.
Okay. It frustrates you to no end.
Alright, I'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day, great night, wherever you are. Peace out.
With
the V. The Hunter's V. The V. Alright, see you guys. Peace.